On a chilly evening in Brooklyn, New York, a young boy was accompanying his foster mother to the trash chute of their high-rise apartment. After being briefly distracted, the foster mother returned to the hallway, only to find that the boy was missing. He simply vanished without a trace. More than 13 years have passed since that fateful night. It's a case both cold and active, marked by over a decade of mysteries that cast doubt on those responsible for his safety. But it appears that those are the same people he wanted to get away from. This is the case of Patrick Alford Jr. Patrick Alford Jr. was born on November 28, 2002, in New York City. Born to Jennifer Rodriguez and Patrick Alford Sr., he holds the position of the eldest among his two younger sisters. During an interview with Vanished, Jennifer portrayed Patrick as a bright and witty young boy who served as a dedicated and caring older brother to his younger sisters. Patrick's mother became a parent at a young age, with her childhood marked by hardship. She grew up in a complex environment where her mother struggled with drug addiction, and her father passed away when she was just 8 years old. Jennifer would start experiencing depression, which later led to her own struggles with substance abuse. Despite facing those demons, she was determined to provide her children with a different upbringing from her turbulent past. She established routines for her children, ensuring they were cared for, engaged in activities, and attended school regularly. While Jennifer tried her best, the unresolved trauma was just too much, and she continued her struggles with substance abuse. Ultimately, she made a decision she believed was in the best interest of her children. But little did she know that her decision would be the catalyst for a tragedy she would have to grapple with for years to come. On December 26, 2009, Jennifer went to the store with Patrick, his younger sister Jaylene, and a relative. During this outing, Jennifer and the relative were caught shoplifting, resulting in their arrest. Law enforcement advised Jennifer to contact a family member to take custody of her children before they took her away. Jennifer then called her mother and asked her to take care of her kids. Interestingly, Jennifer's mother had a criminal past of her own. She had 11 prior cases that deemed her unsuitable as a guardian for the children, posing a significant risk to their safety. Subsequently, the Administration for Child Services received a report from the State Central Registry regarding the arrest. It turns out that the administration had been involved with Jennifer since September 2009. They had to intervene following a physical altercation between Jennifer and her boyfriend, which occurred in the presence of both Jaylene and Patrick. Jennifer's declining mental state raised significant questions about her stability. In response, a child protective specialist named Natalia Rosado visited Jennifer's home to discuss the recent arrest. During the conversation, Natalia pressed Jennifer about her mental health, but Jennifer vehemently denied experiencing any issues. But that was untrue. Jennifer was prescribed psychotropic medication that she had been taking for some time. Natalia was well aware of this and made a note of Jennifer's deceit. The next day, Jennifer reached out to Child Protective Services and asked for help in gaining admission to an inpatient drug treatment program for her marijuana dependency. She was informed that marijuana use did not meet the criteria for inpatient treatment. That is when Jennifer confessed to using PCP, commonly known as angel dust. The drug induces compulsive behaviors and profound psychological alterations, distorting reality and posing severe dangers, including addiction. This admission cost Jennifer her children. When Child Protective Services got to the house, Jennifer and an unidentified man were there with Patrick and Jaylene. Both adults were so high that they could barely stand or communicate. While sifting through the chaos, 4-year-old Jaylene was located in the house, but Patrick was nowhere to be found. Eventually, Jennifer managed to convey that Patrick was at his great-aunt's house, although she couldn't recall the aunt's name. Following an investigation, they located Patrick at his great-aunt Blanca Toledo's home in Brooklyn. He was swiftly removed from the residence. On December 29th, Jaylene and Patrick found themselves at an office in Manhattan, awaiting their placement. The following day, the children were placed in a non-kinship foster home under the care of Librada Moran, who resided in East New York. The arrangement was intended as a short-term solution. However, what was meant to be temporary turned into a distressing ordeal for Patrick, who found the situation overwhelming and undesirable. He yearned to be reunited with his mother and struggled with the separation. According to information gleaned from court documents, the ultimate goal was to place the children with family, ideally their father. But complications arose when Patrick Sr. had a physical altercation with his girlfriend and the mother of his other children, named Sharima. Jennifer also raised alarm over a prior incident in which Sharima had allegedly assaulted Patrick and locked him in a closet. These allegations led to a delay in Patrick Sr. gaining custody of his children. The subsequent hearing, scheduled for January 26, 2010, would quickly take a backseat when Patrick disappeared. On the evening of Friday, January 22nd, Patrick and Jaylene were helping Librada take the trash out. While they were leaving her 11th floor apartment unit, Librada's cell phone rang. Distracted by the call, Librada abruptly turned back, re-entering the apartment while Patrick continued walking down.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
The hallway on his own. It was during this time that Patrick had simply vanished without a trace. All that remained was the voice of Jaylene calling out for her brother. A comprehensive search effort ensued, with scouring the vicinity of the Spring Creek Towers apartment complex, including vacant lots and parking areas. Aviation units were deployed to search rooftops, elevator shafts, and nearby shopping centers in hopes of uncovering surveillance footage. The investigation into Patrick's disappearance was extensive, involving interviews with over 14,000 individuals and the search of 200 buildings. Additionally, authorities canvassed approximately 9,000 residences in the vicinity of Patrick's foster home and his biological mother's residence in Staten Island. Despite these efforts, there remained no trace of the 7-year-old. Initially, suspicion fell on Patrick's mother as a possible culprit in his disappearance. Jennifer was arrested a week later and subjected to intense questioning, including a polygraph test, which she passed. While that was going on, a significant development emerged in the investigation. Canine units were deployed during the initial search. The scent trail led the dogs to a nearby bus stop, mere steps away from the building where Patrick resided. The scent abruptly ended at this location. At this juncture, the case hits a standstill. Regrettably, there is a severe lack of information regarding Patrick's whereabouts or events following his disappearance. This left investigators frustrated, as they could only work with speculation. However, information about Patrick's time living in the foster system would begin to surface. At the time that she took in Patrick and Jaylene, Librada was 58 years old. During their time in her care, several issues arose, with one particular challenge being the lack of effective communication. Librada spoke predominantly Spanish, while the children neither spoke nor understood the language. Patrick openly expressed his reluctance to remain in Librada's care. There were instances of friction between him and Librada, although the specifics of these conflicts have not been disclosed. Undoubtedly, this language barrier presented a significant hurdle for both children. This situation should have warranted an intervention and removal from the home. Patrick vocalized his discomfort during multiple visits, though it remains unclear whether his discomfort stemmed from specific incidents or simply from being in an unfamiliar environment. Regardless, the system was obligated to take those concerns seriously, and they did not. Like most children his age, Patrick had a natural desire to be close to his mother and father, whom he loved dearly. Truthfully, it was necessary for Patrick to be removed from his home. There was rampant drug use and situations that posed a significant risk to his well-being. However, the toll it took on him was substantial and needed to be adequately addressed. According to court documents, Librada reported instances where Patrick displayed aggressive behavior, such as hitting other children, smearing feces on the walls, hitting himself in the head, and making threats toward his sister. During a supervised visit to St. Vincent's Hospital, Jennifer witnessed this for herself. Patrick repeatedly attempted to leave the premises, threw a chair, and expressed a strong desire to return home. During a visit on January 21st, just 24 hours before his disappearance, Patrick repeatedly attempted to unlock the door and leave. Disturbingly, during the same visit, he told his mother that he wanted to be dead and made an attempt to harm himself using scissors. On January 14th, Patrick underwent an evaluation by a psychologist at St. Vincent's Hospital named Dr. Plotnick. Treatment notes documented Patrick's struggles with concentration, tendencies to lie, violent outbursts, and his expressed desire to harm his sister. He emphasized the urgent need for psychiatric evaluation and intervention to address Patrick's issues. Due to his disappearance, he never got the chance. And then there would be a wild development. Private investigator James Osgood later received a tip suggesting that Patrick might have been taken to Puerto Rico. This lead wasn't just wishful thinking. There was substantial evidence supporting the notion that Patrick was taken out of the country. However, no one has ever been able to verify this tip. Two years following Patrick's disappearance, his father was shot in his head inside a Brooklyn apartment. The incident was under investigation at the time, although it remains unclear whether any arrests were made in connection with the shooting. Fortunately, Patrick Sr. survived the attack, but he was left paralyzed as a result. Authorities considered the possibility of a link between the shooting of Patrick Sr. and the disappearance of his son, but they were unable to establish a connection. Following Jennifer's release from jail, both she and Patrick Sr. took legal action against New York City, Librada Moran, and the Administration for Child Services for their perceived failure to safeguard Patrick. By 2018, Jennifer secured a $6 million settlement from the city. She put the money into a trust dedicated to funding efforts to locate Patrick. Jennifer has since relocated to a different state. At the time of Patrick's disappearance, he was 7 years old, stood at 4'8", and weighed 65 pounds. Patrick has brown eyes and black hair with a medium brown complexion. He also has a scar on his left eyebrow. Patrick was last seen wearing a red t-shirt, blue jeans, and black Air Jordan sneakers. He would be in his early 20s today. But tragically, Patrick Alford Jr. is still missing.